I could get a bag of shit in the 13th round, Don. Just because it's at the 13th doesn't mean it's still a bag of shit.
Oh, my God.
You're listening to Let's Talk Fantasy Football, where men of fantasy genius have realized, hey, guys, we don't need real football skills to dominate on the fantasy field. Yeah! So slap on your pads and grab your helmet. Shit's about to get real.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of Let's Talk Fantasy Football. I am your host, Nick Schreck, and joining me tonight, guys, is Lucha's number one fan, Vinny Gonzalez. Vinny, how you doing?
Good, man. I really thought you were swinging that over to Don, because he's the biggest Lucha fan.
But Don can only be introduced one way, and guys, with us again tonight is the D-O-N himself, Don Christman. Don, I know you actually are truly Lucha's number one fan. How are you doing tonight?
I'm feeling so Lucha.
He's feeling Luch. He's feeling Luch, which means he's going to have a ton of great fantasy advice coming at you guys. He's been tweeting back and forth with Lucha, and he's excited to put some spins on stuff for you tonight. But before we jump into things, guys, we want to give a shout-out to ViewPicks. You can play fantasy football live while watching the game on TV. It's going to come to you guys starting this preseason, so as you watch these NFL games, you can literally play live fantasy football. Guys, tonight's podcast, we're going to jump into some news from the last time we've been on. So some of it may be a little old to you. It's new to us. And we're going to talk about some ADPs once again and kind of tie them into news and who we love, who we don't. And we're going to be all over the place. But that is the beauty of talking fantasy football. So, guys, without further ado, here's kind of a dud. But we'll start with running back Carlos Williams. He's been suspended indefinitely. I think it's safe to say his career is over.
Most likely.
Yeah.
Pretty much done, right?
Yeah. Indefinite suspension's pretty much that. So, sorry, Carlos, but have fun in retirement or whatever you're doing.
What is this, for drugs again?
Yeah. I think, honestly, I don't even know what it was. I just saw
it. Yeah, substance abuse for a third time.
Goodness gracious. Yep. Three strikes and you're out. And we're not even playing baseball here, Carlos. So, you got to get your shit together. Let's talk about the Redskins, because there's a lot of news coming out, and I know, Don, you were pretty excited about this pre-podcast as we were getting ready. According to CSN Mid-Atlantic's Rich Tandler, he said he believes Jamison Crowder will definitely be targeted more than Terrell Pryor. So obviously big things there for Crowder. You're expecting big things for the Redskins as a whole. How does this make you feel? What do you expect here?
Yeah, I mean, with Crowder, it's going to be interesting because if you – I wanted to hit this because I wanted to talk about ADP on Terrell Pryor too. I think that could be the case early, just like last year where Crowder started off really hot and then kind of fizzles down. But, you know, they're saying that he's going to get all this. But if you look at, like, ADP, everyone has got Terrell Pryor, like, super high. I know we were talking about it before we got on here. Like, Terrell Pryor, now this is based off of 12-team PPR off of Fantasy Football Calculator. He's ahead of Jarvis Landry, Davante Adams, who I believe Davante Adams finished like number 8 or something like that for PPR last year for receivers. Tyreek Hill, Sammy Watkins, Michael Crabtree, who had a great year last year, Julian Edelman, Martavis Bryant. So there's some big names, and there's another 4 or 5 before Crowder. So, I mean, for Crowder to be the number one receiver with receptions that they're talking about, Terrell Pryor seems to be the guy that still has more attention on him.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's some names on there I'm okay with, you know, where they are. I mean, really, the only one that stands out just because I can't stand him is Sammy Watkins being below him. I won't own any Sammy Watkins because he's always fucking hurt. So, yeah, I mean, Vinny, do you think Terrell Pryor is overpriced here?
Slightly. I mean, like, the name value of some of the guys like Jarvis Landry, Crabtree, and Edelman going after him, kind of, it's a little weird to see. Like, I think people, that preseason hype is already starting on Pryor. I think for good reason, though. There's a ton of targets left on the table since Garcon and Jackson left, a handful of touchdowns with them as well. So there's plenty to play with. It's not like Crowder is going to take away from Pryor's production. I don't think Pryor's going to take away from Crowder's production. They're playing two different parts of the field. Like, Crowder's probably going to work the slot a lot. Yep. And he got targeted, I think, almost 100 times last year. So I think Crowder's role is safe, and then Pryor's just going to fill in, I think, more of like the Pierre Garçon role there, and yeah, probably go well over 1,000 yards and will be heavily targeted as well. So I think it's pretty balanced there. I just think the allure of Terrell Pryor, like already through the offseason, is definitely his athletic ability, what he did on the shitty ass Browns, and what he's been able to do throughout his NFL career with like minimum talent around him. The dude is just completely through the roof talented. So there's a lot to love about Terrell Pryor. And I think just the preseason hype is just already started, and it's pretty much locking him in around the end of the third round. So it is a little bit pricey, but yeah, it is still justified.
I agree. I mean, then if he continues to rise, a bunch more, I probably won't own him because I, you know, Crowder at the third pick in the sixth round is that's fucking tasty. I love that. So, you know, I'd rather spend the money there and, you know, probably take, where was he? You know, like Michael Crabtree's, I think, is a great value there at the 11th pick in the fourth round. I mean, that's a whole round back. But, again, depending on how the draft falls. But, yeah, Pryor is probably going to outprice himself for me as I go into drafts in late August, early September.
So I have a question for you guys. Would you take Terrell Pryor over Martavis Bryant?
Me personally, I definitely would.
Yeah.
Would you do it for like a round and like two rounds difference there? Because like Martavis is going in the fifth round versus Terrell Pryor, like the end of the third.
Yeah, I'd rather gamble on Pryor just because you know you're going to get way more targets than Bryant is probably going to get.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree. I would still do it, but you know, again, I would rather own Crowder around later. I know it's not the question. So I may consider Bryant just because I'd rather have Crowder around later. But yeah, I'd take Pryor. I think there's more to love, safer upside, however you want to you put it.
Fair enough.
All right. So let's talk another guy here, Don. I think I don't remember actually in the last cast. Were you a fan? You're a fan of Jay Ajayi, right? You think he's a real deal?
Yeah. I like it. Dude, I mean, everyone is just talking about him. Like,
yeah.
Everyone is talking about how he's outshined everyone at the Miami camp, like by far. They're saying that they're just going to continue to feed the shit out of him. It looks like you put in here that ESPN's James Walker believes Jay Ajayi could put up 1,900 total yards if he stays healthy. He's a young dude. I mean, he really improved last year. We saw flashes the year before. He pretty much ruined Arian Foster's career at the end and just made him retire halfway through. So especially with the running backs that are in that realm or just behind him, I would – take the risk, and for the fact that I think it's a safe bet that he's actually going to be productive for you.
Okay. You know, I mean, again, I think last week I backtracked myself a little bit because I love him when I was on with Vinny. You know, I kind of stepped back a little bit. You know, I think they're smoking something funny over at ESPN. I don't think he's going to run for 1,900 yards. But just because, you know, his numbers last year, I think were so inflated on those few big games. And we've talked about that. Yeah, I mean, you know, all great things coming out. It doesn't seem like he has a real threat to his job. So he's the guy. Again, I don't know if that'll
help him.
But
now 1,900 yards. I mean, listen, don't take everything that they're saying and think that's going to come into fruition. But I mean, you're looking at the tail end after Jay Ajayi. You know, you could go back and forth with DeMarco Murray, but like we've already talked about last time,
there could be
a more of a share with Derrick Henry because they really like him. And you can go Jordan Howard or whatnot, but now you're going into Marshawn Lynch coming back. Hopefully he has, you know, a good year, but you don't know. He had his last year in the NFL wasn't that great fantasy production. He's a little bit older. You don't know how that's going to pan out for a full season. And he's had some injury risks. Then you got Todd Gurley, who had a great rookie year and then a flop his second year. And then now you're going to have a question mark with Leonard Fournette in Jacksonville, which I like him. I think he's going to do well, but that's another risk you're going to take.
Yep.
Lamar Miller didn't have as much production that you want out of Houston. Then you're looking at Isaiah Crowell, Christian McCaffrey, and Joe Mixon. And then Ty Montgomery. I mean, you know.
Yeah, so it's ugly.
If you're going to buy up on a running back and, you know, Jay Ajayi is like, and you're at that end of the first round or beginning of the second round, and then you don't, if you're going for receivers later or whatnot, like, I think Jay Ajayi is like that. He's that guy that's the last person that you could take. He's probably on his own little, you know, subsection, not as great as, you know, the top three and just under McCoy and Gordon and all that and Freeman. But I think Jay Ajayi is like on the next sublet, and after that it kind of falls out. So
yeah, I have no argument, because it is very questionable at best as the clip kind of falls out there.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. When you're taking Jay Ajayi there at the turn of the second with the first pick there, you're banking on him to be your RB1. Yep. I would think, as long as you didn't take an RB, like maybe you can land Shady at the end of the first or something like that. But
yep.
you're putting a lot of stock into it. And I guess at worst, since they're promising him all this work, he'll be like a high to mid RB2 at the very worst. So yeah. I guess like Don was listing all the guys that are going after him. It's not the worst thing in the world, but it's also still scary just because you have to put so much stock into something that might not be totally realized yet.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah, I mean, you just put all the rest of those running backs after you put them in like a little lucha ring and let them all like lucha out and all that. So
that would be a battle royal, Don.
Yeah, yeah. It's like total lucha stuff.
Luch. Yeah, completely. Good call.
Yeah.
definitely a lucha ring. You know, and Don, I'm looking as we kind of go down the ADPs here, and you know, we're talking a name that popped out at me because we're talking about running backs as you get down here. Lyle Powell. You know, I know this is something that got you fired up, but was it you or was it Vinny?
Powell. Yeah.
That was Don. Don was very angry.
It was Don. Okay, it was Don. So Don, Fabiano, he takes him in the third round. What are you thinking?
It's not that I hate Bilal Powell. It's I'm just kind of like almost for the sense like, you know how we've been talking about how Jonathan Stewart's like stock has dipped incredibly and we're like, why?
Yeah.
And it's kind of like Bilal Powell, I get why he is much more appealing now with, you know, Forte is at his tail end of his career. Obviously showed last year where how he dipped down incredibly from the beginning of the season to even the midway of the season. And the Jets are going to suck. So they're going to use Powell a lot. Fabiano taking him in the third round to me is incredibly insane because I just think you can get him at a later round without anyone snagging him right away. But so I think that's kind of stupid. Now, I think he's going to have a lot of value and probably you're going to have some good production out of him. But a third round pick from Fabiano, that blew my mind. I kind of want to talk about it, but you do see, you know, his ADP, he's rising obviously. So for good reason, but I mean, what do you guys think his actual potential will be? And do you think where he is now, like I'm okay with the sixth round, but obviously I am not okay with like a end of the third round pick for him.
Yeah. The third round's fucking nuts. Horrible. Yeah. I'm on board with you, Don, 100% here. There's a lot to love about him, but not in the third round. I love his price now. You know, I mean, I'm trying to pull up the stat I had before. It said, and this is actually Fabiano put it out there. He said Powell was targeted four or fewer times in 10 of 16 games last season, and he still finished with 58 catches. Pretty good, said his tweet. Super accurate, but, you know, not enough to justify a third round price. Sixth round, sign me up. Great value. You know, I'll take him.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. Don, after you freaked out about that, I started looking up Powell's stats and everything like that. He was not even great last year, like when the Jets were falling apart. Yeah. I'm expecting they're going to be even worse this year. But
oh, that's true.
He only finished as a top 25 RB five times last year. Two of those were against the two worst run defenses in the 49ers and the Browns. Not that impressive at all. And I don't trust what the fuck, like, because there's rumors that they're trying to tank the season so they get the first round pick. I don't like anything about them. Their O-line is awful. The quarterback situation is terrible with Hackenberg, McCown, Bryce Petty. It's just disgusting. Someone's going to have to get him the ball if you're banking on him catching some stuff. And we've overestimated how pass catching backs will do on bad teams like Duke Johnson. We just bank on them having like bailing out the quarterback with catches, but they're just on bad teams, and there's mm-hmm. just it's just going to be a disaster on the offense.
I'm unfortunately still somewhat bought into the sentiment of, and despite being wrong multiple times in the past, as we always are, about the pass catching backs kind of bailing them out, because the Jets, they're going to be bad, 100%. There's no question about it. And you know, they don't have, they lost Decker, who we'll talk about in a minute, Marshall, you know, so realistically, you know, there's really no legit threat on that offense as a whole.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm hoping that they will feed Powell because they see at least he's somewhat valuable. Again, unfortunately, the Jets may have some games where they throw for 60 yards in a game. You know, it's sad to say that that may be true. So that can be a downside. I'm more inclined to just, I guess, pray that he'll get some touches. I'm okay with him at his current price in the sixth round.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, well, let's talk about their like whole situation as a whole. Like with how we were talking about Crowder and Pryor, let's talk about Bilal Powell and Matt Forte.
Yep.
Since Forte's going three rounds later and in the late ninth with the sixth pick, do you guys think that's a better value for what you're going to get out of on the wrong side of 30 old ass Matt Forte, who also has like the same receiving ability as Bilal Powell?
Yeah, I mean, I'm probably going to try staying away from Forte. Standards for Forte last year, but he ended up landing, I think, in the sixth round for us. Now, we are in a 10-team league, so that's a little bit different. It's not a 12-team league, but the value was there. And it worked out for the beginning, but then it really just became a hassle at the midway point. With Forte, and I'm hoping maybe he'll have a good game, or maybe they'll even, you know, they took him out half the time at midway through, or they weren't just giving him the ball. So now that he's another year in, he's really getting to the tail end. He's on a really bad team and a bad offense. Like, I wouldn't even touch Forte.
Yeah, I'm probably going to pass on Forte as well. I mean, you could argue again, he's the better value. He's the late pick. Purely because of it, just it felt like you know, he looked old. Not that I'm in a position to say call anybody old and not great on the football field, but the Jets are going to be bad. I just, you know, I don't know. I think Forte is he'll be involved. I'd rather invest in Powell. Again, it may be some blind faith here in the Jets, which is never a good thing for anybody to have.
There's just no reason for just with their situation as a team. There's just no reason for him to be this workhorse out of them, even if he was a little bit younger, like, cause there's just no hope. Like, I don't think they're just like, okay, we're just going to feed old Forte all the time now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's probably just like, what the fuck am I even doing out here now?
Well, pretty
right.
much.
He's probably like,
cut me. Let me go. If I'm going to still play, put me in a team where I have a chance to win a few games before I retire.
Right.
Maybe you can just Arian Foster and just like week six, like, I'm out of here.
Let
him do whatever you want.
And if they're 0-6 and they're throwing for 60 yards a game, it's very possible. There may be quite a few retirements from the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, what I got here too, I just wanted to pull up this Fabiano. Unfortunately, I've got background stuff going on because I pulled up NFL.com. I just want to go over like his roster because it's just still, I don't know why. So Fabiano went, this is now a 12 team mock draft. I believe PPR, full PPR, 12 team. Fabiano was the 12th round pick. Or 12th pick. So he was the tail end, went Devontae Freeman, which I'm fine with, and then hooked it with Jordy Nelson, which I'm still fine with. But then went Bilal Powell, and then Jarvis Landry, round four. And then his fifth round pick is old ass Frank Gore. Oh, no, I'm sorry. No, so five is Larry Fitzgerald. Then six is Frank Gore. So, like, his running backs are like, you're talking about.
That's not a very good team.
Frank Gore, Bilal Powell, and you got Freeman, which, again, he, like, there were some worries last year with, you know, well, how much will Tevin Coleman take? But Freeman's still a stud. But again, you still have someone that they still do a shared, you know, backfield, and then you got these two guys. I mean, my suggestion is, why would you want your team to look that way? You know what I mean? Like, why would you want to have to worry about Bilal Powell or Frank Gore being your number two running back and going in and out? It's kind of scary.
It was a mock. You practice so you learn.
Right.
That is true. I mean, Don told us just before he got Antonio Brown with the eighth pick in his latest mock draft. So, I mean, you just never know what you're going to stumble into.
It was the fourth pick.
Okay.
We know, Don. We know.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, but, you know, the listeners don't know, you know.
What a dirty liar you are.
Yes, super lucha.
Super Lucha. All right, so let's carry off the Jets and talk about a guy who is now a former Jet. Eric Decker, he's officially signed with the Titans. All praise Decker. You know, we talked.
Dude's dick's big.
He is. Big Dick Decker. We talked about him last week on the podcast before he officially signed. He's obviously now there. I'm trying to see what his ADP looks like. He's a fourth pick in the ninth round.
Yeah.
I mean, I think
sign me up.
Yeah, right? I mean, it's great. Now it's like that because, well, we haven't seen him on the field. He just came off of like his whatever surgery. Well, I think it was his hip. He's a pretty injury-prone guy throughout his career, but when he's on the field, he's fucking awesome. So I think once we start seeing him in some games in preseason or even just training camp shit, once we see like
Derek Decker.
Whole lot of D. I'm just thinking of Dick, man. Adding D's to everything. So much Dick. Yeah. But yeah, once we see him full go, I think that will start to steadily rise because when you're looking at what the Titans have, what they have in their offense now is fucking ridiculous. You have Decker just touchdown machine and then Mariota who could not throw a pick in the red zone if he tried last year. So that's completely lethal if they start connecting like that early on.
What I like about B-double-D is being added on there is that I actually like how it kind of is going to draw attraction to a lot of people where kind of lets Rishard Matthews slink down even more. I think you're going to get like good value out of Rishard Matthews, and I think he's still going to be a really good fantasy value for being at the end of the 10th, the beginning of the 11th round. So
yeah, he's pretty much free right now when you think about it and what he did last year.
Yeah, and I mean, he had a good year in Miami the year before and then really had a nice hot season from midway to the end of the season last year in Tennessee. So you got Eric Decker that has injury issues all the time too. So I think that – and if you can get a few rounds later for Rishard Matthews, I really like that a lot.
Yeah, I agree. I like it.
Fully on board with Decker and Rishard Matthews. BDD, I expect great things from. Hopefully he stays
B-double-D.
Healthy. B-double-D. B-double-D. So, yeah, we wish you the best, Decker. Hopefully you can make all of our dreams come true. Wink, wink. Martavis Bryant, guys. I didn't even read this before I started reading it.
I wrote that.
Yeah, well, go ahead. Talk to me about Martavis Bryant.
Well, being a Bengals fan and just overall curious, I wanted to see how Martavis Bryant was doing after coming back, after missing an entire year for smoking the drugs. And have you guys seen a picture of this dude?
No.
He looks like a fucking house. He put on so much muscle. It's scary as fuck. And then I thought he'd be slow. Apparently he was running like 4.3s, 4.4s at practice. So I was like, oh, fucking great. That's awesome.
Damn.
Yeah. Damn. So I was curious to see what you guys thought about the whole situation, him coming back, the Steelers being overall healthy, and what Martavis Bryant could do for fantasy teams going, I think, kind of early, but I think that's expected with how good he has been in the limited games that he's played.
Yeah, dude. I mean, he's really good. That's why, like, I know when we were going over Terrell Pryor before and, you know, he's way down there and you said you guys would take Pryor, but, dude, Martavis Bryant is like, he would be a number one on most teams if it wasn't for Antonio Brown.
I guess that's fair, yeah.
It's definitely fair. He's really good.
The only thing that always, like you said, worries me is with Antonio Brown and the health of Big Ben. But again, if we're talking about pure talent on Martavis Bryant here, you know, it sounds like he's fast. He looks good. He's healthy. I mean, you know, him and Eddie Lacy are on the same diet plan. And, you know, yeah, I mean, it's priced high, but it's fair. Fifth round, I think, is fair for his price. But Big Ben always worries me with his health. You see it. Again, Antonio Brown's always fine, even when Big Ben gets hurt. But he's not the same. He's not the same guy he is with Big Ben. So that would be the only thing that worries me. And at some point, we will have to see what life is like without Big Ben in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, for sure. I think a lot of the guys around him are kind of forcing his price upwards because the guys around him right now, the ceiling is nowhere near as high as Martavis Bryant's.
Fair.
So I understand. I just hope he sits there because I think it's like a little pricey, but it's kind of dead on at the same time. It's hard to explain because a lot of the guys around him, like Fitzgerald, Marshall, Kelvin Benjamin, you're not really getting that top shelf shit that you can get with Martavis Bryant.
Well, yeah, that's with age, but I honestly don't think Martavis Bryant is going to move. I mean, because obviously a lot of people, you know, you don't know if this guy is going to not get in trouble again. So
that's
why
a good point.
And he, again, because Antonio Brown is there, he's the number two receiver. He's not the number one receiver. So I don't think that he's going to move. But I certainly, if it's me and I'm in the fifth round and I'm trying to get a receiver, I'm taking Martavis Bryant before Golden Tate, Larry Fitzgerald. I'm maybe debate Brandon Marshall, but I don't know. But like, I'm really cool with that a lot. So, and I'm definitely taking him before Sammy Watkins, even too. So, 100%. But Sammy Watkins is going a whole round before him. You know what I mean? So I think Martavis Bryant, if he's in the fifth round there and I'm going receiver, that's a good spot. I'll take it.
Yeah. Completely fair.
Got no disagreement at all. All right. So, guys, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to jump back into ADPs. So we do want to give a shout-out here again to ViewPicks, guys. Starting this preseason, you're going to be able to play fantasy football live while watching the game on TV. We're going to have the founder of ViewPicks on here for an interview in the coming weeks. I'll tell you a little bit more about it. They still got it kind of behind closed doors, so we can't give you the scoop just quite yet. But if you go to ViewPicks.com, guys, you can sign up with your email. They'll get you on the beta list. Make sure you're one of the first in the door to try ViewPicks out. And, again, love to have you on board. And tell them Let's Talk Fantasy Football sent you. And we'll keep things moving. But, all right, guys, we're going to open up the floor here and just start picking off names off of the ADPs here that we kind of think, again, too high, too low. We've hit some of the big ones in the past podcasts, Leonard Fournette, Christian McCaffrey, some of those guys. But are there any other names you're seeing here where you think is – overpriced, underpriced, et cetera?
Before we get into like more ADPs, I actually have a question for you. Yeah. Now, obviously, our leagues could be a little bit different than everyone else's. Our league that we're in, we don't value quarterbacks as highly.
Yep.
We like to go running back, receiver heavy, and then we find value in the, you know, the 8 to 12 quarterbacks and all that, or you know, maybe like the 6 to 10, really, because we're a 10-team league, more than we would to reach for like an Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees. But with the way that the uncertainty and how new the running backs are, and even you know what we're seeing with the receiver ADP right now, do you think that overall, not just for like our league, but do you think quarterback value now starts to raise, and maybe people are starting to go higher on quarterbacks because they're not just seeing the value of where these guys are landing? Like, instead of, you know, flipping a coin on Christian McCaffrey or Joe Mixon and not knowing what's going on.
I personally don't think QB value changes a ton for seasoned people or people that have been playing in a league for a few years. They got a feel for who they're with. Because again, like you said, for us, we devalue QBs. There are other people that love them. If you're in a 2 QB league, you throw all this out and you need to get a QB early. You know, for, you know, new people that are just kind of playing random leagues on ESPN, Yahoo, wherever, you know, I think a lot of those people are more fan driven. I don't think they necessarily know the difference, a lot of people, between like necessarily like Leonard Fournette and Christian McCaffrey, because if these sites are putting them as, you know, running back 15, to them, they're like, oh, well, like, I like the Panthers. I'm like, yeah, he's going to be good. So that, you know, they draft McCaffrey. But I think a lot of people trust the rankings of these big sites kind of as gospel versus thinking for themselves, kind of like as sheep. So I think they'll kind of stay valued where they are. I think there's a chance for more movement necessarily with maybe some guys in our league or in more seasoned leagues where they see that opportunity, because it's all about value again at the end of the day. So someone may say, you know, fuck this, I'm not getting into the Marshawn Lynch, Todd Gurley, Leonard Fournette game. I, you know, I'm going to wait, take a, you know, a wide receiver, and then fuck it, I'm just going to get my QB out of the way now and pile up, you know, Jameson Crowder and some of these Lyle Powell, some of these other guys late, instead of, you know, gambling on a pickup there and taking that safer guy. That's just, that's my opinion.
So this is my, like, not an argument, but just what I've observed, right? So now I'm going to reference back to this is the NFL fantasy 2017 fantasy PPR mock draft that they did, full point PPR, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm looking at let's start round three, and then we'll see where, like, the first quarterback. Now who's your number one quarterback? Is it going to be Aaron? Like, mine's Aaron Rodgers. You guys,
Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I think
Aaron
Rodgers.
Okay,
it has to be. So
let's just look at this as a sample, right? So round three, beginning of round three, we're looking at, like, Brandon Cooks, which is fine. But then you got, like, they're taking the second pick in the third round. You got Joe Mixon, Isaiah Crowell. Then we got Amari Cooper. But then you got Christian McCaffrey, Leonard Fournette. And then at the end of it, Fabiano takes Bilal Powell, right? So that's round three. No QB has gone. Okay, fine. Then you got, like, guys like that are going are now Sammy Watkins, Ty Montgomery, skip a few people that should be where they are. Tyreek, Dalvin Cook in the fourth round, right? Greg Olson, Spencer Ware, beginning of fifth round, Carlos Hyde. Let's skip Pierre Garçon in the middle of the fifth round, CJ Anderson, Stephon Diggs. Then Aaron Rodgers is the first one at the very end of the fifth round. And then Danny Woodhead is after him. Like, there is a lot of these people that I'm seeing that are like, if I'm looking at, like, I can have Aaron Rodgers over, like, all these question marks and then figure it out. Like, I just don't – I'm someone that never goes QB heavy, but I how can I take a Dalvin Cook over, like, Aaron Rodgers? Does that make sense?
Like, it's a double-edged sword, Don. We're so cocked, like they're an expert league, and we're in, like, a seasoned league. We do the podcast. We consider ourselves experts, even though we're not. And we think, like, we're so overconfident that we could land all these other dudes that we think will have a bigger payoff than just grabbing possibly the best quarterback in the league. We kind of pay for it in some ways when we think we're better than the rankings, or where we're 100%. or like less seasoned leagues will take, like, yeah, fuck yeah, I'll get Aaron Rodgers in the third. That's no big deal. And the names you read off in that third round, I'd rather have Aaron Rodgers than a lot of those dudes. So we sometimes pay the price for getting too cute with our own rankings or who we think is going to do better. And we kind of lose sight of how we could, you know, make the best pick in the possible moment, right in the right time to get it.
I agree. And listen, like I said, like, I'm one with you guys. I normally don't ever go for QBs. I think last year was the first time I was like, you know what, let me jump on, like, Aaron Rodgers, and it worked out. And I was like, in the seventh round in our league, I got Aaron Rodgers, seventh round. All right. So that's not really a reach at all, but it's cute, too cute. Like, there is just so much uncertainty this year with all these running backs. Like, when you're, like, now you're reaching for, like, a Dalvin Cook and hoping for something like that. I just think sometimes, like, now it's just this year is just, it's, everything is way too cute.
Yeah, I think
versus just going value.
I think if that was a real draft and not a mock draft, I think we would have seen Aaron Rodgers go way before that. So does that make sense? Like, I think someone would have been like, oh my God, he's still here.
I just find it more interesting this year than past because of just how much of uncertainty there is. And I just think there's just so much, too much cute going on.
That's where you find some value in a dude like fucking Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, and Breeze. I think those are the big three at the quarterback position. I think if any of those dudes escape the third round, you got to take them in the fourth.
That's what I'm saying, though. That's my point. Like, do you see more value in these guys this year than, you know, in the past, like, where you might go ahead another round, like an earlier round on the quarterback than you would normally would?
Yeah, if people are getting too comfy and those dudes are falling and someone's just, like, taking somewhat flyers on these guys that we're not sure, like, the whole middle rounds are fucked. So if those top quarterbacks are getting lost in the mix, I'll jump on one of them immediately.
Absolutely. I agree, because the problem with cuteness is that everybody thinks they're so sneaky, and then they fall. Everyone falls into this, like, sense of security, and we do it in our league. I'll use our league as the example. Everyone's like, wait, all right, someone jumps on Rodgers when he falls to the, you know, 4-5, you know, fine, as they should. But then all of a sudden you're like, well, I don't need to go yet. Like, I don't need to reach, because you're like, oh, well, if I reach in the, you know, call it the, I don't know, like, seventh, and you take Andrew Luck, you know, just, you know, play with me. All right, so you reach, you take him, and then all of a sudden everyone else before you, because you're pick 10, it goes 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4. And on the way back, everyone starts taking QBs. And all of a sudden you're like, fuck, I should have taken Andrew Luck back when I wanted to, but I waited. And now right. everyone else in the league took it. And I'm stuck with freaking, you know, Eli Manning, you know, right. or whatever it is. So
the dominoes fall way too late at that point.
Yeah, exactly. So if you do have the opportunity, you know, I think do it, especially with the uncertainty, like you're saying, Dom, with these middle rounds, is you have to.
Right. So, like, moral of the story of and me just going and rambling on it, like, and obviously it is early. This was a mock draft. Even though I have, you know, everyone has their strategy, like, hey, I want to take a running back this round. That's what I take. But, like, when you're facing a Dalvin Cook or there's, like, Aaron Rodgers there, you know, when is it just like, you know, why the fuck am I taking Dalvin Cook instead of Aaron Rodgers at this point? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, 100%. 100%, I'm with you. And that's something that, you know, in general for you guys listening, and we'll talk about as we get closer to draft day, we kind of go into draft day advice and putting together plans and go in with a plan, but don't fucking be married to it. You know, you have to be able to, you know, flex with the draft as the changes come, and we'll go into that more. But, again, it's early, guys. Just get mocking, as always, and we'll definitely adjust from there.
Yeah.
All right. Is there one name you guys want to throw out there to hit real quick as far as what we got going on? Then we're going to hit some reader questions.
That was like my biggest strife. I didn't look at what the next one was for, you know, ADP. Obviously there's a lot of things that
okay.
press my buttons, but
I got you. All right. So let's just go here. Let's jump into reader questions and we'll save the ADPs for the next podcast we got coming out shortly. And let's start here with question number one. It comes from Jeremy. A few of these we've talked about, guys, previously offline, but we're going to do them on the podcast so everybody else can kind of get a feel for what's going through our heads. First question coming in from Jeremy, guys. He says, I'm in a 12-team half-point PPR league. We get two keepers. He says, I'm keeping Jay Ajayi in the ninth. Awesome. Good job, Jeremy. He says, should I keep Doug Baldwin in the fifth or Marshawn Lynch in the sixth? Thanks. What are you guys doing?
Doug Baldwin. Doug Baldwin's value is the beginning of the third round in PPR, and you would get him in the fifth versus you got Marshawn Lynch, who, like I said, at the end of his career in Seattle before he retired, he was injury prone, wasn't productive. Now he's had a whole year off. You don't know what he's gonna do. Versus Doug Baldwin, you're getting him two rounds later than what his value is in a PPR league. So that is easily the pick I would take.
Yeah, I agree. I would go Doug Baldwin. I don't have a lot of faith in Ajayi, even though if you wanted to go that route in the ninth, that's pretty cool if you want a running back for your team. But yeah, Doug Baldwin could be a top 10 wide receiver, top 15 at the worst, so I would definitely stick with that.
Wait, hold on. You wouldn't have faith in Ajayi in the ninth round?
No, idiot. I'm saying that's fine. I don't have faith in Ajayi this year.
Just in general. But
yeah, but how poorly could he like perform, though? Like, I know you said you don't have faith in it. This is just another thing to talk about, but yeah, I know you don't have faith, but you still think he's going to perform less than a ninth round value would be?
Oh, shit. He said he's keeping him anyway. I misread that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, all the way. Yeah, I mean, yeah, great. Keep Ajayi because you still got your first, second round pick, third round pick, whatever. You know, so whoever's not obviously kept, you can take for value, draft it up top. If Ajayi shits the bed, oh, well, you still may draft somebody else, and Ajayi could end up being your running back three, you know, for all we know.
Ajayi's going at the end of the first and beginning of the second round. That's amazing, the ninth round.
I agree. I have there's no disagreement. Take Doug Baldwin. Let's go to question.
I'm gonna take you guys in the lucha ring and we're gonna luch out.
Man, you
and I'm gonna wear an Ajayi jersey while I'm doing it.
You're gonna go down, man. You're just gonna go down.
I've followed blind faith like this before, Don. I've done it.
But we're talking about the ninth round.
I'm just talking about Jay Ajayi.
The problem isn't the ninth round value, it's Jay Ajayi himself.
Yeah, but he's getting him in the ninth round. How poorly does he have to do where he wouldn't even meet your expectations of the ninth round performance?
I could get a bag of shit in the 13th round, Don. Just because it's at the 13th doesn't mean it's still a bag of shit.
Oh, my God.
All right, question two comes from Jason via Instagram. He says, rate my team. So I'm just going to list off, guys, his starters. You know, we don't know what rounds people were drafted in. So just going to give you a quick overview of the team. And, you know, rating, it's a relative scale. I guess let's just call it what we like, what we don't like, and go from there.
On the Luch scale?
On the Luch scale. Drew Brees, starting quarterback. Running backs, LeSean McCoy and Jordan Howard. Wide receivers, Michael Crabtree, Jameson Crowder. Tight end is Travis Kelce, and his flex is Leonard Fournette. I don't know how many people are in this league.
Holy shit. Well, that team
Does he want us to rate the team because, like, he's really, like, insecure? Or does he just, like, want to show us how big his fantasy dick is right now?
A little bit of both, I guess. I didn't look at this prior.
Well,
I
mean, your team's better than Vinny's 13th round bag of shit pick.
I agree. Yeah.
Obviously.
Unless he has a bag of shit on his team and he took him in the 10th, that was a mistake.
Now, do we know if this is PPR format or?
No, we don't.
Obviously,
dude, does it matter?
I guess what his weakness would be is like he doesn't like have a top tier receiver. But overall, that's a great team.
Here's his bench for you guys is backup QB, Jameis Winston. And then he's got Marshawn Lynch, Martavis Bryant, Tyreek Hill, and Jeremy Maclin.
That's great.
Wait, how? How does he have all these people?
I don't know, man. That's the screenshot that Jason sent in. So
you're in comparison of B-double-D's real dick versus your fantasy dick on that. You're in comparison the same. So it's a good rating.
Yeah, so, it's a massive dick. That's nice, how we rate the team.
nice job, Jason.
You got a BFD.
BFD. Question three, guys, comes in. It says, from a 12-team league, standard keeper, they keep four people, 15 roster spots with one IR spot. So that's a lot to digest in one. But he says, I can't decide who to take for my keepers. I have David Johnson, Mike Evans, Amari Cooper, Derrick Henry, and Jordan Howard. He doesn't have his first pick in the draft. He traded it for David Johnson, so cool. And then, so he said he's obviously keeping David Johnson and Mike Evans. He's taking Amari Cooper as his third keeper. And he says, I can't decide between Howard and Henry. What are you guys doing here?
Howard. Yeah, my bad. This is the one that I responded to an email not knowing that he was on the link. So I just blatantly wrote Jordan Howard and nothing like, hey, thanks for submitting your question. So my bad. Super informal, but Jordan Howard by far.
I completely agree.
I agree as well. It doesn't matter about the informality. Jordan Howard, your guy here for sure. And that's going to wrap us up here, guys, for tonight's podcast. You have any questions, hit us up on Twitter. Instagram apparently is the new thing. Don loves it that people are sending in questions via Instagram. So slide into our DMs there. Guys, we will catch you on the flip side.
This has been Let's Talk Fantasy Football. Thanks for listening.